Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see everyone this morning, and I know we're going to receive a blessing as we worship together. Please refer to your bulletin for our announcements this morning. First, I want to welcome my own family up here this morning, Katie and David and Melody and Bennett. They are going to be leading in our music this morning as Putt and Pat are in Knoxville, Tennessee this morning as Benjamin will be getting married tomorrow. And so our congratulations to them, and great to have our family with us this morning as helping us lead in worship. Also, looking through our announcements this morning, at the 11 o'clock service, but if you see them at Sunday school or between services, please welcome Vic and Laura Reinert into the membership of Walker United Methodist Church. They are being received by transfer from First United Methodist Church of Greensboro. And so if you see them between services, please give them a welcome as they are joining the church with us this morning at the 11 o'clock service. Please note on the main bulletin, on the back page of the main bulletin, the announcement of the upcoming Bible study that will be from January 6th through March 3rd. On Thursdays, this go-around, we'll be looking at the book of James. And so the details are there. If you can always come anytime you want to, but if you like a book ordered for you, please follow the directions in that announcement. Please be reminded that next Sunday, it will be a special Sunday for us. We will have one service at 10 o'clock only, and this time it's because our Christmas cantata will be held next Sunday. I'm just going to read the announcement as Pud has put it in here. The music ministry of Walker United Methodist Church presents Come Emmanuel, a Christmas service featuring singers and instrumentalists from the Walker Church family. Invite your family and friends to join us Sunday, December 12th at 10 o'clock for this special celebration of the Advent season. And I hope that that you can be here. The choir's been working long. Choir's been working hard. And every time that they present one of their musicals, we are highly blessed and hope that you can be here. Last year, we did not get to have that. And so this year I'll make it an extra celebration as we get to celebrate that this next Sunday. Please be reminded of the financial request. If you want your records to match church records, the church is only able to record what is deposited in the calendar year, and that last deposit will be December 28th. Please note it's getting time for poinsettias again, and those details are in the bulletin as well. Ladies, there's a please note that you will be having a Christmas get-together beginning with a short meeting on December 13th. All of those details are listed as well. Please be reminded of the food pantry and toy drives. If you've been back in the fellowship hall, you can see that, as usual, you have responded well. And so I just want to thank everyone that has already responded. If you have meant to respond but have forgotten to respond, whatever is your method of reminding yourself, please do so, as these items will be picked up on December 13th. And then this year we have re-implemented our Christmas cards and our soldiers mission project. So please just follow those directions as well. I know those were a lot of announcements, but are there any announcements that should have been made that were not? If not, it's a joy that the Lord has brought us together, so let us come now and worship His most holy name.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, we thank you that indeed you are with us. We open our hearts and our souls and our minds to you now in this service, praying that you receive our thanksgiving and praise and we receive your messages to us. As we proceed, may this service be pleasing to your sight and hearing, and may it strengthen your people. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Our hymn of praise is Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Please stand as we sing together.
Superficial and temporary. Philippians 4:7 tells us, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Let us pray. Gracious God, grant that we may find peace as we prepare for the celebration of our Lord's birth. Let us remember that you and you alone are the giver of lasting peace. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.
This morning, as we go to prayer and share our joys and concerns, as always, please refer to the prayer list that you have in your bulletin. We do highlight a few this morning and any others, of course, that may be upon your heart. We do want to remember Mati Smith in a special way. Mati is recovering from her surgery. Surgery itself went well, but it is a... There's a lot of recuperation involved in the surgery, and so she doesn't anticipate being back with us in service until after Christmas. And so please be in prayer for Monty in a special way as she recovers from surgery. Please be in prayer for Harry Singer in a special way. Harry is staying at Patty's, and what the scenario right now is that they're taking it week by week. As long as he needs to stay at Patty's, he will be at Patty's. Should things get better to where he could come back home, then he would. It's just a week-to-week thing, but he is at Patty's, and the church office does have Patty's address if you would like to mail him mail a card to him. Also, we've been remembering on and off now for several months Beth Nuss. This is the wife of Reverend Russ Nuss, friends of Sheila Bechtol. Beth has finally been taken off of the respirator. They've removed the trach, but she still has a lot of recuperation to go battling COVID. They are hopeful that she will be able, since they've taken out the trach, that she will be able to be moved to a rehab facility closer to home. And they say it's ambitious, but they are hopeful that they can have her home by Christmas. But they still are saying that that's ambitious. So remember Beth in a special way. We thank the Lord that she has come this far, but she still has quite a ways to go. So remember her in a special way. Are there joys or concerns that should be voiced that were not? If not, let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, we do come with glad and thankful hearts this morning to worship you. To be reminded in this season of Advent that you are our hope. You are our peace. We are reminded that you are our hope and our peace in the midst of a chaotic world. And Lord, we are reminded when we look at the Christmas story and its realities that the world was a chaotic place into which you were born. Just as chaotic as it is today. And yet your angels burst forth singing glory to God in the highest, peace on earth. And so Lord, we just pray this morning as we gather in this room, we are people of reality. We know what is going on in the world. We know the struggles of the Lord. But Lord, we know that you have given us the victory over it and even in the midst of it. Though the world may not can understand, we are people of hope. We are people of peace. And so Lord, I just pray this morning that as your people have gathered into this room, whatever it is in our lives that would hinder that hope, that would hinder that peace, that you would bring healing to that this morning. It will look different for each person, but Lord, there is something probably in most of our lives that would hinder that, something that would cause our eyes to be clouded and not see that, because we live in this same world as everyone else. And so, Lord, whatever it is that would cloud our vision of your hope, that would cloud our vision of your peace, that would cloud our experience of that, may your healing touch be upon each and every situation. And Lord, we thank this morning that as we are gathered in this room, that we were free to come or not come. We were free to come to this gathering or another. Lord, we're free to debate even when we think sometimes the person presenting another opinion than ours, we may wonder where in the world that came from, but we're both at freedom to express that. Lord, that's just a fantasy so many places around the world. May we never take our freedom for granted. May we never take it for license. But may we always remember the privilege and responsibility that it is. May we always use our freedom as an opportunity to serve you. And may we never take that freedom for granted, nor those who protect that freedom, who are standing in the gap even as we worship. May your protection be upon those who protect us in civilian roles and in military roles. May your healing be upon the wounded, the easily seen wounds of the body and the often unseen wounds of the heart, mind, and soul. And may your peace be upon the families whose loved ones gave it all. And Lord, you know our prayer list. You know the names we called aloud. You know the names that are printed. You know other situations that are upon our hearts and minds. We thank you that you are still the great physician. And we know that regardless of what the medical prognosis may be, you can cure our bodies. And you know that is always the desire that we bring forth when we mention persons on our prayer list. Yet, Lord, we know that you know what we don't. You see what we can't. Your wisdom far surpasses ours, and you even love each person more than we ever could. So without any doubt whatsoever of what you can do, we also trust our loved ones to you, knowing that you will answer our prayers according to your will, according to their good, because your people love you. And Lord, we thank you this morning that when we leave these grounds, we know that you're going to be with us. May we be conscious of that presence so that you may lead, guide, and direct our every thought, word, and deed. And we pray that you'll bring us safely back together so that we can worship you and encourage each other. We offer our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to say when we would pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And as you are able, would you please stand for our affirmation of faith, which you will find printed in your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. gracious and loving Lord, during this season of Advent, we are reminded that you have sent the greatest gift of all, your Son, Jesus Christ. And so you gave everything to us. And we know that we can give to you from the blessings that you lavished upon us. So we bring these gifts back to you now, praying that your blessings continue upon each gift and giver, and that you guide us as a congregation, that every penny entrusted is used according to your will to further your kingdom in this community and throughout the world. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Oh,
Our scripture lesson does focus on Mary's song, which we'll be reading from Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. One night at dinner, a man who had spent many summers in Maine fascinated his dinner companions by his telling of stories of experiences in that state. And he spent a lot of time telling a story about a little town named Flagstaff. Seems that this town was to be flooded as part of a large lake for which a dam was being built. In the months before it was to be flooded, he related how all improvements and repairs in the whole town stopped. And you can understand why. What's the use of painting the house if in 6 months it's going to be covered by water? Why repair anything when the whole village is going to be wiped out? So he related how week by week by week, the whole town became more bedraggled, more gone to seed, more woe begone. And then he added this by explanation: where there is no faith in the future, there is no power in the present. Hear that statement one more time. Where there is no faith in the future, there is no power in the present. Upon reading that, I had three thoughts. My immediate response was, "Wow, how true." My second was, "Well, it's Captain Obvious. It's so simple, why say it? There's nothing particularly profound about it." And the third was, the reality of the statement is disturbing. Regardless of what sphere of life you are looking at, individual, communal, whatever sphere you are looking at, if you don't see any future, then you're not going to do anything in the present. If you don't see any hope in the future, you see no power in the present. And like you, I encounter conversation upon conversation about how bad life is. I have a short attention span. I might as well, admit it. That's one reason my sermons are on the shorter side, even though some may debate that. Because I have a short attention span, and so, I'm not surprised if some of you have a short attention span. But I have a short attention span, so I admit I don't read many articles. To me, they spend about three pages that they didn't even need to put in trying to set it up. But anyway, I saw a headline that said, "Why I Should Be Worried About a Certain Subject." Note what the media is trying to do to me. Hence, you, me, all of us. In case you weren't worried, let us tell you why you should be worried. In case you've got hope and peace this morning, let us tell you why you shouldn't, and let us take it away. We're bombarded from media to individual conversations about, oh, how bad life is, from individual circumstance to the world stage. Life has never been so bad. Morality has never been so decadent. The economy has never been so low. Everything has never been so hopeless. You know, although we have seen better times as a nation, I challenge you to go back and read just American history. We've seen better times, but we've seen far worse. In our worst times, we have lived in more comfort than our grandparents ever thought about. In the worst of economic times. I know the world is morally decadent, but I challenge you to read the Bible, and then I challenge you to read the history behind the Bible. The world today, in many ways, is quite tame to what it was in the Bible. And it was in the midst of those times that Jesus was born. I'm always hesitant when I say this, but I also feel compelled to say it. I love Christmas time. It's my most fun time of the year, as it is for most people. Sally indulges me. She puts our Christmas tree up November 1st. She indulges me. But I'm that way. I just love the festivity of it. But if you really want to know what Christmas is all about, take away the Christmas cards. The song that Katie, even though I may be a little prejudiced, so beautifully sang this morning about Mary. She wasn't wearing pristine blue. She didn't have a halo around her. She was tired. She was worn out. And the reason they were going to Bethlehem was not because they decided to go on a weekend trip. It was because these occupying Romans said, "We're going to keep track of all you people in Israel. So you got to go back to your hometown, which is the hometown of the husband. And you got to go get registered so we know where you are so we can make sure and tax you enough." That's why they're in Bethlehem. Yes, I know it's to fulfill prophecy, but as far as the practicality of what was going on, human life was cheap to the Romans. Just don't get in their way. The religious leaders made a lot of our shenanigans in government look like amateurs. That's Christmas. Hopefully next year, Sally will put our tree up on November 1st again. That's the fun part. But the reality of Christmas was Jesus was born into a world of chaos. Jesus was born into a world of pain. Jesus was born into a world of hatred. Jesus was born into a world of distrust. We think our world is bad. Maybe it is. I'm not going to argue that point with you. Think what you want to about how bad this world is right now, but the world into which Jesus was born was as bad or worse. That's Christmas. That's what Jesus came into. And then I want you to notice Mary's song of praise. Mary goes to Elizabeth, and forgive me if I've got my family connections wrong. I do this all the time. I think Elizabeth was Mary's aunt. Goes to visit Elizabeth. And Mary sings a song. And when she sings this song, notice she's singing the song in past tense. It's not what the Lord is going to do, it's what the Lord has done. Because of this child that she is carrying, she is singing about the accomplishments of God in past tense, as if it has already occurred. Mary was a virgin, pregnant by the creation of the Holy Spirit. We could spend an hour on the dynamics that went with that. Israel was still occupied by Rome. The religious leaders were corrupt. And as we just said, they make a lot of the shenanigans of our present government look like a bunch of amateurs. To see the circumstances in which Mary sang her song is truly a testimony of trust, of faith, of obedience. Because look at the history, look at the circumstances. The circumstances showed absolutely no visible signs of a hopeful future. The circumstances showed absolutely no reason to be hopeful. The circumstances showed absolutely no reason to be joyful. Yet two pregnant women, now granted pregnant by unique circumstances, but two pregnant women got together in Elizabeth's home and they had a praise and worship service. Thanking God for what He's accomplished that hasn't been accomplished yet. They praised and worshiped and celebrated as if all of the dynamics and all of the circumstances had already changed. The celebration was the assurance of the hope and the longings of generations coming to its beginning. All of this celebration was based on a promise. But the promise motivated and enthused their present and their sons ushered in the salvation of humanity. As we continue this season of Advent, as we noted in the lighting of the Advent candles, Advent calls us to peace and hope. I pray that we experience peace and hope, regardless of what the circumstances may look like, either individually or as a community. For we are reminded that God is bigger than any circumstance we'll ever face. God's love is stronger than any difficulty we'll ever encounter. Our impossibilities are God's miracles waiting to happen. Because of the true peace and hope through Jesus Christ, we do have faith in the future. And because we have faith in the future, there is power in the present. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, thank you for the example of Mary. Thank you for her faith that accepted your calling with all of the dynamics that went with it. Thank you that when she met with her relative Elizabeth and they had their praise and worship service, they sang of your deeds as though they had already been accomplished because they trusted in your promise. And so, Lord, you know each one of us in this room. Individually, we all face our stuff, whether it's health, whether it's relationships, whether it's finances, we all face our stuff. We all face those negatives in our lives that would drag us down. As a nation, as a world, as a people, as a society, we are constantly bombarded by why we should be people who are negative. But gracious Lord, thank you for reminding us this morning also that when your son, Jesus Christ, was born, he was born into a world that was every bit, if not more, chaotic than the one in which we experience today. And into that world, he brought hope. Into that world, he brought peace. So, gracious Lord, may we open our hearts to you this morning that we may experience that hope, that we may experience that peace. And as we experience that hope and we experience that peace, may that be contagious. So, yes, even in the midst of the chaos of the world, we may be instruments of your hope and instruments of your peace. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. This morning we are observing the sacrament of Holy Communion. Remind you, these are hit and miss. We don't get in a hurry. I will stand here prayerfully and Sally will play prayerfully until we are confident everyone has had a chance to receive the sacrament. Please be reminded that everyone is invited to participate in the sacrament of Holy Communion regardless of church membership or denominational affiliation. If you did not receive, receive the communion elements as you came in, if you'll just raise your hand, the usher will be sure and get some to you. You that do truly and earnestly repent of your sins and are in love and charity with your neighbors, and intend to lead a new life following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets, who looked for that day when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, when nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent in the fullness of time to be a light to the nations. You scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts, and have mercy on those who fear you from generation to generation. You put down the mighty from their throne and exalt those of low degree. You fill the hungry with good things, and the rich you send empty away. Your Son came among us as a servant, to be Emmanuel, your presence with us. He humbled himself in obedience to your will and freely accepted death on a cross. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us. On us gathered here on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And let us receive the sacraments. Most gracious and loving Lord, as we receive your sacrament during this holy season of Advent, we are reminded that Jesus was born for the purpose of dying for us, but not only dying, but rising, defeating all of our enemies, including that most feared enemy of all, death. And so, gracious Lord, as we enjoy the festivities of the season, as we celebrate times with loved ones, may our heart in all of that be focused on Jesus, who entered a chaotic world to bring us hope and peace, because his love was greater than his judgment. So Lord, you know what each person needed this morning to receive as they received the sacrament. May that have been their experience this morning. And may we all walk closer to you because we have received your sacrament and communed with you in that most special way. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Our closing hymn is "O Little Town of Bethlehem." Please stand as we sing together.
Thank you. forevermore. Amen.